Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to jump ahead from where we ended this morning to chapter 18, texts 32, 33, and 34. One of the reasons for doing that is the theme of Brahminical culture. We were hearing the method for upholding and start with reestablishing and then upholding Brahminical culture. And these verses are now going to describe the breaking of Brahminical culture. How is Brahminical culture broken? In one word, it's pride. And pride is rooted in bodily conception. Pridelessness becomes possible with spiritual conception. Amanitvam adambitvam. Humility and pridelessness are the first two items of knowledge. They're symptoms, or qualities of one who's situated in knowledge, and a Brahmana is supposed to be situated in knowledge. How can one be a Brahmana situated in knowledge if one isn't humble and free from pride? So when pride enters the heart of one who has at least capacity for knowledge, then that person with that capacity for knowledge becomes fallen. And when that person becomes fallen, the whole society, as Prabhupada writes, day by day becomes more fallen. Because society needs to have vision. A body has to have a head. Without a head, bodies are kaput, finished, or dangerous. Body without a head. Society without a head is dangerous. It becomes degraded. So, the influence of Kali upon the Brahminical order began, ironically enough, with Maharaj Parikshit, the one who Prabhupada is writing here, is by the quality of the government of Maharaj Parikshit, that a small boy, just a son of a Brahmana, was so powerful that he could curse the king, Maharaj Parikshit, the one who allowed him to become so powerful, in part, by his good government, by his protection. So we're going to hear about this. The storyline, you all know. One day, Maharaj Parikshit was traveling about in the forested parts of his kingdom. And much to his surprise and everyone's surprise, he became overwhelmed. Maharaj Parikshit, who has perfect control of his senses, he can withstand a brahmastra when he's in the womb of his mother with the tenderest of bodies of a living entity still within the womb of his mother. He was such a kshatriya in addition to the protection of the Lord, but it's specifically described. He could withstand that intense heat of a brahmastra. But for some reason, as an adult, for some reason is Krishna's indication, he became overwhelmed with thirst. That's not Marsh Brixit. But that's what happened. Plan of the Lord, in other words. And so he went to a nearby hermitage where there was one Brahmana. And the Brahmana, because he was absorbed in meditation, he didn't even have the external consciousness presence to recognize that anyone entered his cottage. And then another uncharacteristic of Maharaj Parikshit overlooked the fact that he was in meditation and thought instead, mistakenly thought, he is deliberately ignoring me. Which wasn't true. And he asked for some water. I'm thirsty. And there was no response. And another uncharacteristic thing, Maharaj Parikshit then became overwhelmed with anger. He was in perfect control of his mind and senses. Became overwhelmed with anger. Well, what was that? It's the plan of the Lord. And in his anger, he then spoke some words to the Brahmin. Useless. What kind of head of society are you? You can't even show the basic respect of honoring a guest in your home and offer them a sitting place and some water. Some Brahmana you are. And walked out. And as he was walking out, he saw just outside on the ground a dead snake. They picked up the dead snake on his sword and went back in the cottage and made a garland of a dead snake around his neck. Here, this is a fitting garland for you. Another. That's not Maharaj Parikshit. What's going on? The plan of the Lord. And even as he was doing that and left the cottage, Maharaj Parikshit was feeling, what have I done? This is terrible. So he was feeling like that immediately. We all know what that feeling is. We do something or say something that's really not right. And if we're half tuned in to Super Soul, immediately there's this awful feeling that says, why did I do that? That's what happened. Maharaj Parikshit was thinking like that. But while this incident happened, apparently there were some standers by that saw some children, and they ran to where the son of the sage was playing with other boys, and they told him, hey, this bad thing just happened to your father. You know what? Blah, 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 blah. And you're a Brahmana. And he's lower than you. You're the Brahmana, and he's this lower than you person. Look what he did to your father. Blah, 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 blah. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing, just a small boy playing off in the somewhere, field somewhere, just playing ball to his son, doing something. He heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows. Prabhupada says, it was due to Maharaj Parikshit's government. His good government made it possible that even a tender-aged youth, small boy, I mean, maybe even smaller than you guys, small boy, so small, but he was powerful. Oh, he was powerful. Tired? Okay. His father had trained him nicely also. Credit also goes to his father, but certainly his father had the protection of the king. then listen how Prabhupada writes. But because the age of Kali was seeking an opportunity to spoil the cultural heritage of the four orders of life, the inexperienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture, to look out from which direction the personality of Kali might be trying to attack. Even when there's nice training, if there's pride in the heart, Kali can attack. What was that, the manifestation of that pride? Pride in one's position, or specifically, Prabhupada writes, hatred of the lower orders of life. Feeling oneself superior to others. That's pride. Under the influence of Kali, and thus the cultural life began to dwindle day by day. So three times in one purport, Prabhupada has used the word culture. It refers to Brahminical culture. And Brahminical culture refers to all the things that we've been speaking about. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, points of Brahminical culture. Sama damak tapak shaucham shantir arjavam eva chasa. Qualities by which a Brahmana works. In developing those qualities and living by those qualities, that's a life of culture. So Kali is looking at a way to attack that. So the access point is pride. Who was the first victim? Maharishi Pariksit. The king who protected everyone from the influence of Kali became the object or the first victim of Kali's influence. Irony. The Lord's plan. Text 33. The Brahmana's son Sringi said, "Oh, just look at the sins of the rulers. Look what he's about to do. Who, like crows and watchdogs at the door, perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants." You know, very haughty way of describing the relationship between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Crows! Watchdogs! Servants! And we're the masters. That's not a formula for cooperation. That's a manifestation of pride. Prabhupada's comment in the purport is the Brahman is like the brain or the head, the Kshatriyas are like the arms. Yes, it's true the arms are supposed to take direction from the head. When things are in proper order, that's a natural arrangement. So there is a hierarchy, a natural hierarchy, that's true. But one may be in the position of a Brahmana or an intellectual or a learned person or born in a family that has that characteristic. But the verdict of the scriptures is it's not by birth, it's by genuine quality. So this head has to have Amanitvam, humility. Adambitvam, pridelessness. Or in Mahaprabhu's teachings, Amanina Amanadena. That's a symptom of a Brahmana. Someone who has the birth or even the intellectual capacity of a Brahmana, but doesn't have those qualities, they're not a Brahmana. It's a very dangerous position, in fact. Or, Prabhupada says, lacking in culture. Pride is an exhibition of one who's lacking in culture. Say it the other way. A cultured person is prideless. So, we're cultivating the qualities of Vaishnavas. That means to cultivate this quality of pridelessness. Because we're not, many of us, myself, sure, not born in a Brahmana family, but we're being trained to be Vaishnavas. So because we're being trained to be Vaishnavas, if we think, we're Vaishnavas, and other people are crows, and watchdogs, and servants, that's not a Vaishnava disposition. There's fortune in becoming situated in devotional service, but if we regard ourselves in that way towards others, we're disqualified. We need to do a little purification. Voluntary or involuntary purification. Because that's not the symptom of a Vaishnava. And pride is not the symptom of a Brahman either. The king is certainly the watchdog of the state in the sense that he keeps vigilant eyes over the border of the state for its protection and defense. But to address him as a watchdog is the sign of a less cultured boy. Here's a key sentence in this whole section. Thus, the fall down to rabbinical powers began as they gave importance to birthright without culture. In our case, as Vaishnavas, is not a matter of birthright, but it's a matter of to give the name Vaishnava, but not have the qualification of a Vaishnava, not have the culture. So therefore, a really key part of the training of Vaishnavas and the community of Vaishnavas is the culture of brahminical quality, austerity, compassion or mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, here, pridelessness, humility. There's actually two places in the sections that we've just read. There's two sections where if the question was asked, what was the first sign that the age of Kali had begun? Although astrologically it had begun already. But the sign is, either one of these two would be a right answer. When an unqualified person assumes the position of a king, but doesn't have the quality of a king, as in the personality of Kali, breaking the legs of the bull. Second correct answer, right here. The downfall of the Brahmana caste began in the age of Kali, or the age of Kali is marked at its beginning by the Brahmana, the head, acting other than as a Brahmana should act because of lack of culture. Knowledge without culture is dangerous. And the modern system of education is knowledge without culture. It's dangerous. Put something extremely powerful in the hand of an uncultured person. Dangerous. Like technology in the hands of an uncultured person, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And it's going on. And where's the brake pedal? No brake pedal. No clue how to put culture into that beast that's moving down the highway really fast. Except crash. And then pick up the pieces and start over again. Fortunately, there's some thoughtful people along the way that bail. Let's get off this moving train and do something different. I'll share this as a little side note, but one of the more joyful parts of my life is preaching Krishna consciousness. And Devamrita Swami and I are regularly discussing. I spent some time today discussing with him sustainable economics, sustainable agriculture, sustainable economic system, an agricultural system, people living where things are, you can actually survive, and you know, it keeps going. It perpetuates itself naturally because of the absence of artificial dependency. He has a disciple in New Zealand that just got his PhD in accounting, where I forget exactly the title of it is, the sustainable accounting. And the premise of his PhD thesis was the system of profit and loss accounting is useless. It has proven itself to be useless because there are many other factors that need to be accounted for that aren't simply in terms of profit and loss. You know, the economic model of production and consumption, and in the production it's profit and loss, and consumption it's profit and loss, and so the economic well-being of any state, country, city, or group of people is profit and loss. Well, there's so many other losses in the course of what looks to be like profit that turns out to be not profit. So it's an ineffective system of accounting. You have to take a look at the whole entity and the sustainability of what are the profits, the gains, and what are the losses. And then you have sustainable accounting. Cool, huh? He got his PhD. And now Maharaj is taking that idea and considering in various ways, because all the research is there in his PhD paper. Not just like, you know, it's a nice, cute idea. It's got, there's research and research and research and research, and he's drawn from that research. And Maharaj is planning to take this as a topic that he's going to present at business schools and different places where, you know, the topic is otherwise kind of dry, but it's actually very, very important. Because accounting is at least normally thought of as a very dry thing. Profit and loss, numbers, no boy. So the whole idea that he's been focusing on for the last couple of years, 2-3 years, is smashing the idea that success is material economics or consumer economics, where you just produce more and spend more and buy more and consume more. And the more you do that, the more you're successful. There's unsustainable losses involved in that. Environmental, emotional, interpersonal. It's a non-sustainable system, what to speak of, what Prabhupada was speaking, we're discussing the gold standard. To do all of that, you have to have notes from banks that are worth nothing, except the faith that there is, that they're worth something, but they're actually worth nothing. And when the faith in the banks goes, all those notes are worthless, because they were worthless to begin with, other than the faith you pumped into that note. The whole economic system collapses. And the solution? Just put a whole bunch more government money in the banks so people can make more notes that aren't worth anything. So people can consume, produce. So I've been taking that same message in a different, similar but different way that he's presenting, and where it leads to is something that's one of Prabhupada's one of his important messages in his mission is having agrarian communities that are sustainable. Simple living, high thinking was Prabhupada's phrase. Simple living, high thinking. The modern word is sustainable. Sustainability. People, devotees can actually live. And think of Krishna. Live a lifestyle that's not, it's amongst devotees. And it's a very natural lifestyle without all the artificial dependencies, and when things don't work then you're distressed because they don't work and people lose their jobs and they can't feed their families and all that stuff. I spent some time with a devotee from Brazil whose name is Purushottraya Swami, and he gave me his PowerPoint presentation of his Braja Gokula or something like that in Brazil. And it's beautiful. The piece of land they have is beautiful. It's right by the ocean. There's a big national forest. So it's, you know, it's never going to have neighbors. And it's beautiful. Houses made from local stones and whatever they have. It's just local stuff. And all kinds of tropical. He showed the pictures of all the fruit trees, the different types of fruits, the different types of flowers, and it looked yummy. And you know, they have their own little, all the other local farmers, they produce, I forget what it is, they produce something, cane, maybe it's cane, and they make something from it. They got a grant from the government of Italy to build a little indigenous cottage industry type thing where they can package home produced something or other. So that's a little income for the families. They have their devotee school, they have their income, they have their simple living. They don't have to go, you know, some ugra karma job. And it takes a lot of dedication to do that. But it's really fantastic example of fulfilling Prabhupada's instruction. They don't have to, you know, this gold standard or paper currency or rupees or dollars or euros or marks or francs. It's just what you produce from the land. That's the currency. How many pineapples do you want for your bananas? You know. to do something like this, there has to be Brahminical culture. There has to be respect for Brahminical principles. There has to be persons that uphold them, set the standard and example, and can guide the community. It becomes a very natural that some administrators, some people that do the enterprise, some people that help, the natural divisions of society are very naturally there, and there's full cooperation because one part needs the other part. Very nice. There was a proposal, I don't know if it passed or not, a proposal from persons that are concerned about this topic, especially considering the direction the economy is going, and it's going that direction if you haven't noticed, and it, you know, it's continuing to spiral down and down and down. They say going south, that's the latest phrase, going south. So thoughtful members of our ISKCON leadership, they were encouraging, should spend 10% of their time each year promoting or directly involved with such communities. I don't know if it passed or not. And there's very few examples of such things. But I'm excited about it and speaking about it because it's something Prabhupada wanted. And there's a reason why he wanted it. It's an example of what's in the Bhagavatam. It's challenging to do it. Because it's not challenging because it's so difficult to do it. It's just because we're so conditioned to our modern comforts and so on. But here's the Maharaj with his PowerPoint presentation on his Dell computer showing what he's doing about simple living and high thinking. But that's to help the people of the world understand the value of it, and as they understand the value of it, to support it so they can complete their temple construction and do some of the other things they want to do. But if that wasn't there, they just, you know, use the raw materials they have from the land. Because there aren't, one of the slides shows, they make their own yokes for the oxen, because you can't go to a yoke store and buy one. Nobody makes them anymore. So they're making them themselves. It's a lost art. And he shows, you know, in slides, several slides, how they do it. They're preserving that art of how then to use the oxen, the bulls, to plow the land. They make their own plow. They make their own yoke. Nature makes the oxen. It's nice. Very nice. And there are philanthropists and governments and all kinds of agencies interested in promoting this type of thing. They want to see models that really work. It's perfect for our devotional philosophy to have such a lifestyle. Anyway, enough on that topic. Prabhupada writes, the downfall of the Brahmana caste began in the age of Kali, and since Brahmanas are the heads of the social order, all other orders of society also began to deteriorate. So we just blame it on Sringi, right? It's all his fault. He did it. What can I do? I'm just a victim. But it's a principle that we should be aware of. We shouldn't think like that. Somebody else is to blame. We're standing in line and we can say, no, I don't want to fall prey to pride of any type. Although that tendency is there in every conditioned soul to be proud of something. Text 34. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely, this is Sringi speaking, designated as watchdogs. And they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds? Dogs can enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate. Yuck. This dog went into my father's house and thought he could ask him for water? Ha! How audacious for a dog to do that. It's not like, imagine, that's what he's saying. Purport, the inexperienced Brahmin boy certainly knew that the king had asked for water from his father, and his father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner, befitting an uncultured boy. He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified the wrong in a way characteristic of the brahmanas of Kali Yuga. Again, the headline of the topic here. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of fall down of the perfect social order. Here it is in the Bhagavatam. We gave reference from Bhagavad Gita, and the reference is also there in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amanina manadena. So we should get the message. It's like not just stereo, it's whatever three is. Simultaneous trio. It's a simultaneous message. This is very detrimental. It brings down. If there's good quality, let pride enter. It destroys good quality. Don't let pride enter. Carefully. It's not something that somebody else can do for you. It's something you have to do yourself. Don't allow pride to enter. Don't allow pride to enter. It will destroy everything. Again, even there may be good government. Even there may be good training. If pride enters, if somebody thinks, supposing the thought enters your mind, oh, we're getting such good training, and others aren't getting such good training, and thinking in that way, one's heart may become proud. And if one's heart becomes proud, everything becomes destroyed. So don't think like that. You can think, we're very fortunate for getting such nice training. And let me be a proper example of that training by the exhibition of the culture of a nicely trained person. Humble, prideless, truthful, etc., etc. That's the proper representation of a qualified person by their culture. Not by birth, by culture, by training. I'm just hearing Prabhupada explain the same thing in a lecture in Vrindavan. Same thing about, you know, what is the real qualification of a devotee? The real qualification of a devotee is not by birth. Just like a brahmana, same classic thing. A brahmana may, by association with their parents, a young boy, may become a brahmana. But not so without proper training and initiation. His point was this: without initiation, what's a brahmana? So therefore he's not a brahmana by birth. Without the proper sangskaras, one isn't qualified. Then he took it one step further and saying, without garbhadang sanskara, which is not being observed in this age, how can anyone even claim to be by birth a brahmana? Very simple point. I was having this discussion with somebody who hadn't been accustomed to Krishna consciousness, and he was asking this question: how is it that you can consider persons not born in Brahmin families to be brahmanas and those that are brahmanas to not be brahmanas? And I gave this example. To be a brahmana, I'll say it slowly, to be a brahmanas are those who observe sanskaras, yes? Yes. And in today's society, are those who are brahmanas observing garbhadan sanskara? And if the answer is no, then they can't be considered brahmanas, because they're not observing sanskaras. He said, you're right. He was truthful. And in the absence of those sanskaras, what to do? So we have another system. We have the Pancharatrika system. That is also Vedic. And what does that Pancharatrika system say? It says that by proper Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one can become elevated to the quality of a Vaishnava, which includes the quality of a Brahmana. And by sustained Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and activities guided by religious principles, that's the Pancharatrika system, then one can be recognized as a qualified Brahmana. He said, I was not aware of that Pancharatrika system. Where can I read more about it? I told him. And the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is soon to be translated and published by the BBT, by our Sanskrit scholars at Govardhan's school, it is the essence of the Pancharatrika system, the Narada Pancharatra, that's part of the Vedic system. Our deity worship is not the only thing that follows that system, it's our whole process, which is completely harmonious and sympathetic with the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is also hearing and chanting about Vishnu or Krishna. The Bhagavatam is explaining that Pancharatrika system. The Pancharatrika system is a system just like the Yata Kanchanatam Yati Kamsam Rasa Vidhanataha Tata Diksha Vidhanida Dvijatam Jayate Nirnam. The process of dvija, or becoming twice born, is that process that is likened to the process of alchemy. Alchemy is a process of transforming base metal into gold. That's alchemy. It's one of the things that alchemy does. So as base metal can be transformed to gold, so similarly an ordinary person can become a brahmana by this Pancharatrika system, by proper following of the Pancharatrika system. Statement in the Vedas. So in Kali Yuga, go back to the Bhagavatam section you're reading from, born in a Brahmana family is not sufficient qualification. What's sufficient qualification? Having the qualities of a Brahmana. And the sanskaras are also necessary for having those qualities. Becoming a Vaishnava. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna, but also receiving Diksha is necessary, not optional, for that formal connection with the disciplic succession to be made, so that the full mercy of the disciplic succession can come through the process of devotional service. It's a Pancharatrika system, a vidhi of the Pancharatrika system. Diksha Vidhan. Okay. Some of you are still awake. Any questions? The definition of what pride is that Prabhupada often gives is thinking, having an inflated impression or conception of oneself. Well, those things that, more specifically, those things that one has, that Krishna has given, like ability or knowledge or wealth or something, service or title or something. And thinking highly of oneself in those terms, so that goes into the upadhi realm. That's a symptom. There's a distinction, although they're closely related, there's a distinction between humility and pridelessness. Humility has to do with what you think of yourself, and pridelessness is what you think of your property or those things that you have. There's the self-conception and there's the conception of mine. I and mine. In the realm of mine, pride is thinking highly of oneself in terms of what is mine. Practically speaking, one should take it for granted there's pride. So your question, how do you tell that it's there? Just assume that it's there. To a greater degree or a lesser degree, to assume it's there. Again, like Prabhupada was saying in the class I was listening today, assume that there's envy. Because in the material world, that's the hallmark. So we're not, until we come to the stage of pure devotional service, those things are there. Assume it's there. It manifests itself grossly or subtly, but it's there. And grossly is in terms of, you know, moving about or speaking or acting in an arrogant way, thinking of highly of oneself in terms of what one has. It's based on a material conception of self and where things come from. Everything comes from Krishna. And if I can understand everything comes from Krishna, what's there to be proud of? It belongs to Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhavritya. We're all his servants. So when you go away from the position of a mood of humble service, that's pride. You're entering into the realm of pride. Even when things provoke, one should stay in the realm, in the mood of humble service. It's challenging to do like that, but that's required. Otherwise, ego and pride. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. What happens when you have gold and you're not Krishna conscious? What happens if you're intoxicated and you're not Krishna conscious? What happens if there's no mercy and you're not Krishna conscious? All those things feed pride. They're roots and they feed pride. Just see how much I can drink. Just see how much illicit sex I can have. Just see how much I can steal and get away with it. Just see how many lies I can tell and get away with it. I haven't heard one question from the ladies the whole time that I've been here. Any questions from the ladies' side? They're looking out of the corner of their eyes at each other. Okay, giving you a chance, equal opportunity organization here. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.